is going to behave like Republicans. You know, the thing is, the difference between her and Obama, she's not going to go up there and hold hands with them. She's not going to go sing Kumbaya. She's not going to try to find the great compromise. You know, she's like, she is a woman of my generation. I mean, I'm in the second half of the baby boom. She's in the first half. And, you know, I don't know where you fall. You're way too young to be in any baby boom. But I'm just saying, if you know or you have friends that grew up in this era, she knows what she's been through as a woman in this society. She has not forgotten this. And I can't see her signing a single piece of legislation that's going to say we, the government, have control over your reproductive organs, you know, or something that's going to hurt children or something. So I think these are, you know, we need Glenn. We need The Intercept. We need you. I should keep making movies. You know, all of us are going to have to do our thing.
Except you say that you may well be what, running in 2020?
If I will offer myself up. If she goes back on what she says she's going to do, if she doesn't adopt the 2/3 of Bernie's positions that she said she's going to, then either I or Kanye will run in 2020.
Academy Award winning filmmaker Michael Moore, his new film, Michael Moore in Trumpland. It's playing in theaters now. It's also available on iTunes and Amazon. That does it for the show. A very happy birthday to Andre Lewis. It's the big one. Happy birthday, number 30, Andre. Tune in Tuesday to our 5-hour special election broadcast from 7 p.m. Eastern time to midnight here on your station or at democracynow.org. Oh, and Democracy Now! Is hiring interns for the spring. The application deadline, November 18th. Check our website for details. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkner, Marine Shea, Carla Wills, Laura Gattis, Dina Guzder, Sam Alkoff. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Thanks for joining us.
This is College Radio Day, and you're listening to WHFR-FM, Henry Ford College.
This is College Radio Day.
College Radio Day.
Championing college radio and celebrating the last bastion of creative radio programming in the world.
Truly independent content and music you can't find anywhere else.
Wow. This is College Radio Day.
This is WHFR, Dearborn. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. For us live in the studio at Henry Ford College on College Radio Day. That's right, it's official. It's National College Radio Day. And we are here. We've been here for, 32, going on 30. This is our 31st year, so we're going on 32. So we're getting pretty old around here. I'm joined in the studio by my colleague, John Conroy, WHFR News Director and Sports Director. We've expanded your title. So welcome today, John.
Thank you, Jay. It's great to be here.
Okay. I always say it's great to be anywhere, but that's... a different kind of joke. Anyway, and of course, some people might say, well, what do you do on National College Radio Day? Well, you listen to college radio. So thank you, all of you who are listening right now. That's what you're doing. Even if you're listening to the podcast, you're listening to a college radio podcast. So, okay, maybe you're listening some other day. But once a year, this organization, collegeradio.org, they came up with the idea of getting a celebration going across the country, and I think even internationally. There's some international college radio stations that are celebrating today, too. And it is the heart and core of things that are new and different and exciting and perhaps a little more spontaneous and unplanned. That's certainly our show, right, John?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. And, of course, we are doing on the show, which is called the New WHFR Journal. And it's new because it's not the same as last week, but we do local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. So very, very happy to be with you today on College Radio Day. Woo! And Well, we've got to prove our worth now to you. Okay, so we're going to look at some of the stories from the paper. And for some reason, I guess I'll have to give them a call. The Dearborn Times-Herald didn't come to my mailbox. You know, they don't have a home delivery as such, but they mail it out. Did not get it yesterday or Wednesday. So I have to talk to them about that. I know I could look it up. They don't have a website. I think the News Herald downriver has a lot of the similar stories, but they have a website. I think it's news-herald.com.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway. Okay, so I'm looking at the last Sunday's press and guide from that's October 30th. I won't mention Halloween. I assume that's over and done with, except a few bags of stale candy now. But hope everybody had a safe holiday there. Well, the paper does still talk about the election and candidates that are challenging one another. We've pretty much gone through all of that. We do recommend, of course, that you go to vote411.org on the web, on the internet. Vote411. That is the number 4, and then the number 1, and then the number 1. I think they got that because on telephones, it may still be on telephones, regular telephones, wired telephones anyway, if you dial 411, you will get an information menu of choices, like what's happening, where the Tigers playing, things like that. That used to be 411, and I just haven't tried it on my cell phone. I don't think it works on cell phones.
It's slow. I mean, it does. Oh. It'll do it, but it doesn't. It takes a while before it actually kicks in.
So the idea, the reason they took the name for their voting information website is because it's sort of the information number, if you will. Although, it's
there are a lot of advertisements first, and then eventually you will get to the information channel.
But, there's no ads on the website of vote411, the numbers 411.org, and you put in, you have to begin, first of all, it's a national website run by the League of Women Voters nationally, and so to localize it, you have to put in your street address and zip code, and then it gives you all the candidates and proposals that are going to be on your local ballot, and it even tells you, in case you're a little confused, where you're going to vote. So it gives you the location of your polling place. Of course, I always recommend, if you're not sure, call your city clerk or township clerk's office just to make sure. Sometimes those things do change. Sometimes they make changes from the last election. The last big election was, relatively big, of course, was 2 years ago, and the last presidential election was 4 years ago. But and, of course, Tuesday is the day, folks. We'll try to remind you again, and as frequently as possible here on WHFR, that the polls open at 7 a.m. in the morning and they close at 8 p.m. at night. So please try to go vote. I have a story about absentee ballots, too, especially in Dearborn, that we'll cover in a minute. Here's a little bit of an interesting story from Dearborn Heights, a little bit of a concern, a little controversy here. It seems that the embattled waste hauler, the company that picks up waste around the city, has nonetheless gotten an 8-year, $22.5 million contract awarded by the Dearborn Heights City Council. And that was a vote of 4-2, so it wasn't necessarily too close. The company is currently being involved in a bribery and fraud investigation. The 8-year contract is for $22.5 million. The city's current contract with Waste Management ends on October 31st. And who did they choose here? They chose a company called Rezo Environmental Services. They're the ones, not Waste Management, just so we're clear on this. They're currently involved in a bribery and fraud investigation. Now, it's only an investigation. So they haven't been, they're not guilty till proven guilty, okay? So, but it's sort of like political reference, Hillary Clinton's emails, until you can actually prove that something was clearly done intentionally and caused a problem for somebody, you can't blame her. You can't, not at all. No. Okay. Well, okay, she shouldn't have used her private server for a lot of things, but sometimes people want a little more privacy, even though apparently they said her server didn't have the best firewall protection that is against hackers and so on. But anyway, and here's one of the quotes from Dave Abdallah, who was on the councilman. He said no. He said, the biggest reason I decided to vote against it was the different investigations going on and the fact that they had been bought out by a Canadian company. So Rizzo, which might sound very ethnic and local.
Rizzo.
Rizzo? Yeah. Rizzo, okay. Might be a U.S. company, but it's not in this case. It was bought by a Canadian company. And so Abdallah's feeling was, I think, Rizzo overall, as far as its services are concerned, is a pretty good company. When the, unquote, when the city originally took proposals for the contract, Waste Management and Rizzo wound up as the top two companies. But Abdallah said Rizzo was seen as offering the better contract. He says a lot of residents were feeling uncomfortable, and with all the investigations going down, there were too many red flags, Abdallah said of his decision to vote no on the Rizzo contract. I didn't feel comfortable going in that direction and putting residents in a position where something could go wrong. There was too much risk involved. I guess one of the issues could be foreign ownership, although if you can't trust Canada, I don't know who you can trust. I mean, yes, they've tried to take out contracts with dumping grounds in Michigan to dump the garbage from Toronto. And that's been happening for several years.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That these people that have big tracts of ground and are willing to manage the waste, they can't just dump it there. They've got to have various kinds of big industrial machines to push it down, pack it down, grind it up, you know, mix it up and so on so that it biodegrades as fast as possible. But still, they can make a ton of profit allowing, well, anybody to come and dump their trash there, you know. And they have several of these grounds in Michigan are receiving literally tons of waste from Toronto. Which it's hard. They must have given them a really cheap price because they got to drive all these waste trucks from Toronto 210 miles to Michigan and then wherever these fields are, not necessarily in Detroit. But the to-do about that is not that these, you know, obviously these business people are making a profit, so they don't care. But we need all those dumping lots for our trash in the next 20 years. We're running out of space for the trash that we produce. And so we would prefer not to have any open trash lots be filled up with Canadian trash before we get there. They're just going to fill up faster, and then we're out of luck. Will Canada let us drive our trash over to them? I'm not so sure. Well, just saying, this is an issue. I don't think you can't hold against an investigation against a company or a political candidate until the outcome is known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just trying to be fair here, but the Canadian thing too, if you want to complain or sue somebody, how do you sue a foreign company? I mean, I don't think it's that easy. Maybe it's impossible, in fact. So that's what they've done, folks, and if you out there in Dearborn Heights don't like that, I guess you can call your council people. Four of them voted in favor of it. Let's see. Yeah, John?
Yeah, Jay, related issue to those trash haulers, mm-hmm. is that the downriver, Rockwood, there's a large place where they bring those haulers to. They tear up the roads when they come through there, and that's been an issue for quite a while. But how do we avoid getting our roads torn up with the trash coming from Canada?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue. And the other one is that do we want Canada's trash coming in at all,
right?
You know,
yeah,
to hit our places. And,
right. Personally, I think they've got plenty of open land in Canada. You know,
yeah.
I really, I know they do. Okay, they're much less densely populated, so it's their trash. It should be in their country as long as they have so much open land. Although, it doesn't mean they want to, turn all of their open land into a trash dump. But then again, we shouldn't be doing that either. We should find ways to reduce and minimize the trash we produce. You know, reuse, recycle, reduce,
yeah.
All of that. Okay,
And a little bit of unplanned investigative reporting on my account, talking about Rizzo, as far as the dumpsters are mm-hmm. concerned. I happen to be on the east side of Dearborn, right at the Detroit, border with Dearborn, and I noticed like three or four Rizzo dumpsters that hadn't been touched in a while. They were overflowing, and there were folks around there looking at why is this happening, or why can't we use these dumpsters? And they were creating a little bit of a stir down there. So,
well, that raises a question there too. By the way, yep. the article does go on, a lot of additional information here, and it's a good story. Therefore, some investigative reporting that was done. at the Dearborn Press and Guide. Give credit where credit is due. Andrea Blum.
Yes.
Andrea Blum did this one. And if you turn the page, if you forget about the headlines and you want to find out more, first of all, this company, its new name is going to be GFL. Good for the land? I don't know. GFL Environmental Incorporated. Okay. And they actually purchased the company just 2 weeks ago before learning that the company was mired in a criminal probe. So they decided, first of all, to get away from whatever the criminality might be that happened when Rizzo owned the company exclusively. They're changing it to the GFL brand. So they're repainting all their trucks and their dumpsters and so on, GFL. And the city does have, just so you know, a six-month out clause in the contract that they just approved. So they have an option to rebid the trash hauler service if it's not satisfied after 90 days. So if really something is revealed, whether it's the outcome of that investigation, which wasn't caused by the Canadian company at all. They were surprised probably when they bought the thing, and we got to see what we can do about that. But the city does have a six-month out. So there you go. Okay. By the way, GFL is pretty big. It is based in Toronto. It provides trash pickup services to more than 2.5 million households. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's, you know, more than one per household, I bet, and employs more than 4,000 people. There's always the question, why can't we just hire the USA-based companies? Isn't that better for our economy?
I would think that, yes.
I do believe that Waste Management has the contracts in Dearborn, which include recycling and so on. I think they do both the heavy trash and the recycled trash. I think it's all Waste Management trucks. So Dearborn got a pretty good deal. I don't know if they bid Rizzo. If Rizzo tried to bid for that, or if GFL will, but some people, I can understand. There's reasons. It's not just nationalism. There's reasons why you might want to go with a U.S. company. As Mr. Abdallah said, councilman in Dearborn Heights, at least they're a little bit closer, and you know who to sue if you get in trouble, who to phone, without trying to figure out what is that Canadian area code that you're supposed to get into. So, okay, that's a little story there. If you're out in Dearborn Heights, you might want to consider that. Taking away our waste is a big deal. It's one of the major issues in every city. We can't live with our trash piling up.
No.
There's health problems. You know, there's rats. There's contamination. It smells bad, looks bad, and so on. And so we've got to do what we can. And we need a company that is forward-thinking in terms of recycling pickup, too. Dearborn Recycling did change. For a while, they weren't taking many things like really heavy, high-quality magazines, you know, really glossy, because if you burn them in the regular way, they release a toxic gas that is poisonous fumes, and that's not good. But apparently, they found out a way to do that without to put on filters or something when they're burning them. So they will take all kinds of paper now and then recycle that, which is, that's kind of good. Okay.
Interference with the aquifer is another big problem, I'd say, too.
Right. In terms of the dumping near where the aquifer is, the water underground, yep. Sort of the natural water, yep. That's waiting for us to pump it out, and when it's gone, we won't have anything. But yes, that contamination is a big problem, yep. And you have to be careful where you dump it, which is why I think in Michigan, those people that sell their property for these dumping fields, and again, they have to maintain them, so I think they have to be licensed or get a permit with the state of Michigan. One of those concerns would be, is there anything that can be contaminated underneath there?
There you go.
So they have to do some geological studies.
Ooh, cost okay. A little money to them, yes.
Well, maybe. All right. So this is the new WHFR Journal. Jay and John here with you today. Next week, oh boy, it's the post-election local wrap-up done by yours truly, and we have special guest, the president of the Dearborn Rotary, Regan Ford, coming in for the whole hour. And, you know, he's full of opinions about a lot of things in Dearborn. So we'll see what he has to say about the outcome of, well, we're going to, of course, mention all the elections. But I think the national news will pretty much tell us, or should know by next week, Friday, who won the election on Tuesday. But a lot of cases, some of the local numbers don't actually show up until Wednesday or Thursday because, maybe absentee ballots hadn't been counted yet and it was close or whatever. So we'll wait for the final numbers and we'll definitely have them on the Journal before any of the local Detroit Dearborn papers have them, certainly, because, you know, they have to go to press on Tuesday in the midst of the election, so there won't be any Wednesday papers. By the weekend, Arab American News, Press and Guide will have the results, probably, like, but we'll scoop them a little bit there. And, of course, their websites, we'll try to get information up as soon as possible, but we'll do a little of our usual alternative point of view and analysis, because all the opinions on this show
are expressed are not necessarily the views and opinions of WHFR or HFC.
Mm-hmm. We said it.
They're our own opinions.
That's right. and we try not, you know, to have them based on something rather than just sort of totally subjective how I feel about it is, you know, because that wouldn't...
up with some semblance of...
everybody has those feelings, you know, but why do a radio show with just your feelings as if John or I are better than the rest of you? Of course we aren't, you know, in terms of feelings, right? Isn't there a song, Feeling?
In terms of brain power, too. But
well, of course, yeah. So as many ideas as possible. And the brain power thing, the good news is when John or I give a rationally assessed opinion about something, if you don't agree with it, that's great. Go out and find support for your point of view in case you hadn't thought about it before. You know, if we challenge you to reinforce the opinion you already have, then that's good. But maybe we challenge you just enough, you discover something new, and you might slightly change your point of view. You know, it's not just our opinion or yours. There's other points of view out there, too. Always more than two perspectives on any topic. And, you know, it's always good, especially leading up to election, to get as many points of view as possible. So, John, do you watch much TV?
Watch some TV, Jay, yes.
Well, I haven't seen this one, but there's a new ABC television series called Designated Survivor, and it's a political drama, and locally, as the story goes here, not everybody in Dearborn likes it. In fact, attorney Naheeb Ayad, who's founder chairman of the Arab American Civil Rights League in Dearborn, he hasn't seen the show, but he's aware of the subplot involving Dearborn, which finds police rounding up all Muslims after a devastating attack on the U.S., attack on the U.S. Capitol during the State of the Union address. In fact, that's what happens, is that actor Kiefer Sutherland becomes president, and then there's this big, you know, problem with how to run the country, and it looks like all the Muslims of Dearborn are being rounded up, and I haven't seen it either, but Kiefer Sullivan, of course, would be famous to a lot of dedicated TV viewers as the lead in the mini series. I think they did three of them. 3, 6, or 8, or 10-part miniseries on, they were called 24.
24, yep.
How they could drag 24 hours out into 6 or 8 weeks, I don't know. But it was like an hour each week, so
right,
it would start up again the next hour, you know, or something. There were usually attacks on the U.S. It's usually terrorism is what they were fighting, and Kiefer Sullivan was the lead in that. So he was totally capable, super spy in that. Had some emotional problems, but anyway.
He certainly comes from good stock, but as his father is Donald Sutherland, who acted in the show, was given many, many great roles in movies.
I was giving a tour of WHFR studios yesterday to a school group, and afterwards, I do my usual animated college lecture, especially for people in person, a lot of hand movements and body language, nothing too risque, of course. But afterwards, one of the young women in the group came up and said, "Your voice sounds just like Donald Sutherland's." Yeah, John is laughing and choking at the same time. I mean, I don't think my voice sounds like Donald Sutherland. Do you think my regular speaking voice is that of Donald? I mean, we both have a little bit of a low kind of professional voice. Right now I notice his voice is on the commercial for, is it Tropicana? Some sort of orange juice that is from Florida that is pure orange juice anyway. And you know, it's not watered down or added to it, just the pure squeezed juice, whatever that is. That's currently, I know, on TV, and I've heard his voice there, and I know he also did some sort of airline commercial too for one of the you know, fly the friendly skies or whatever. But yeah, so he, yeah, he's done a lot of great drama, a lot of great movies over his career, and he's probably getting up there in age, but he's still one of the great actors, and still doing a lot of things in Canada, actually, that we don't see, a lot of their TV shows, too. But yes, he is the father. So whether or not my voice sounds like Donald Sutherland's, I don't think the Muslims of Dearborn should worry about that. But it is, you know, this happens all the time, that for the sake of Hollywood TV or cable TV drama, you have to get suspense, you have to get dramatic issues established, and you're making them up. But you want the audience to believe it, so you have to pick something that's kind of in their minds already.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm trying to excuse the writers. You know, the only ongoing show that's probably equally offensive to every community in the U.S. is one called Supernatural. It's on the CW network now. I think it started on one of the major networks. It's in its 12th year, the longest running horror genre film on TV, episodic TV. And they, every week, they're in a different small community. And it always says on the screen, where, because they're traveling, killing monsters, you know, vampires, devils, demons, whatever it is. They're finding them and they're killing them, and it all seems good. But, you know, it's those communities that turn into devils and monsters that you might want to blame or something for allowing themselves to be taken over. I don't know. But at least they're someplace different every week. And it's ironic because every episode is filmed in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay.
So just imagine every little small town, every desert, every mountain area, every beach that you see for 12 years of Supernatural is actually in nearby Vancouver.
In Canada.
Yeah, in Canada, in British Columbia out there. So also referred to as Hollywood of the North, because they do a lot of production work there, and the series is still there. By the way, the original, well, the first 7 years of The X-Files were shot there. Oh. I think a lot of people knew that. They were based in Canada. Okay, moving on.
News to me.
Well, that's why you're here on the show, John.
Yeah.
You and I both learn things all the time. All right, so turning the pages, we're going to the Wednesday Dearborn Press and Guide. And we've got a lot of individual little stories and a couple of opinion pieces we want to share with you in the second half. On Wednesday, you know, as a literary person myself, there's a new book. A lot of books come out by local authors, but this is an interesting one. It's on the front page. Elizabeth Barberi wrote the story for the Press and Guide. Sleeping Tiger author's book examines media's coverage of Muslims. Okay. And the author is Anne Marie Ameri, A-M-E-R-I. She's a doctor, has her doctorate in something. And when she was only 16 years old, Anne Marie, growing up as one of the only Muslims in Dearborn Heights at the time, she heard on the radio that, quote, all Palestinians are terrorists, unquote. She thought to herself, well, that's ludicrous. It can't be true. And then in the 1980s, she heard that, quote, Arabs are terrorists. She again thought that statement was totally ludicrous and asked herself, all the people in the Middle East, how could anyone believe that? There's no substance to that, unquote. And it grew from there into Muslims are terrorists, she said, which we hear certain politicians saying today. And she said, 2 billion people in this world, terrorists? Mary decided that she couldn't sit back and do nothing. She majored in history and psychology in college. She received undergraduate degrees from, wait for it, Henry Ford College and Eastern Michigan University, as well as a doctorate and specialty degrees from Wayne State University. She also studied law for 2 years at the extended day program at the University of Detroit Mercy. She says, I'm a researcher and wanted to determine who was behind this political agenda and to find out what is the reason to besmirch the Muslims and Arabs. And that's, of course, in general, what she's referring to. And so she has written a couple of books. Her new book is Awakening the Sleeping Tiger Within, Breaking the Power of Mainstream Media's Portrayal of Islam and the War on Terror. Almost on purpose, when WHFR started on National Radio Day, I can mention this, in 1985, we knew we were not going to be the same as the other stations. We wanted to be providing news and information, a little bit at least, and music that the other stations weren't providing, but they should. And so that's why this show is not just news we read out of the paper, but a little background and analysis trying to read between the lines. Of course, I've lived in Dearborn since 1979, so I know a little of the Dearborn history, the history of some of these stories. And so that's why I'm heading up the show. When they said, who's going to volunteer to do our public affairs show? And I didn't raise my hand, folks, honest, but I was the one that had the longest residency in Dearborn, so... Yeah, I must know something.
Well, 31 years, and we're just getting started,
that's
Jay.
That's what we say, yeah.
And we're also making waves.
And our birthday is coming up on December 20th, and then it'll be our 32nd year. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, watch out. Really getting dangerous. That's why we mentioned these things are a little bit different. Mary, by the way, will read and talk about her book tomorrow at 2 p.m., November 5th, at the Arab American National Museum. Okay, right on downtown, well, what used to be, and it still is, East Downtown Dearborn. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's right across from the Art Space facility. It used to be the City Hall.
Old City Hall.
Yeah. Old City Hall, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you might want to catch that. Refreshments will be served, and books will be available for purchase. So that's at 2 p.m. November 5th. Dr. Ameri will read from her book and also talk about it. And I do think that with her... background in education here at Henry Ford College and elsewhere, that her research is not just about Muslims, understand, folks, she knows about them, but how does the media get it wrong? How does the mainstream media get it wrong in regard to Muslims and Arabs, and for that matter, other groups too that happen to come into their attention? So very valuable discussion, and if you can make it over there, to my knowledge, from the story, it doesn't say that there's any cost. So it may be free. But if it isn't, maybe it goes to, maybe you have to buy a book to get in or something. But and so in some bookstores, you know, when they have a famous author come in,
right.
You can't get their autograph unless you buy something.
You buy the book, right.
Buy the book,
that's
yeah.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. At some of these Comic-Cons where there's comic book artists or movie stars or whatever, and I've gone to a couple in the last year, you pay for the autograph.
Yeah.
And... then you also have to pay, if you want one of their photographs, that's an extra charge. For example, Mark Hamill, the famous Luke Skywalker of the first three Star Wars movies, he was in Toronto at the Fan Expo Convention Center this last August, and I was there, but his autographs were costing $200 each.
Whoa.
Usually they're $45 to $90 for most other stars.
Uh-huh.
$200. In fact, William Shatner was there, too. They got his autograph. It was only $80.
Wow.
But both William Shatner and Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, charged $5 extra for an 8x10, color 8x10, that they would autograph. Now, if you didn't buy a photo from them, though, you could have them autograph your hand, your face, or a previous picture that you got of them,
okay.
Or a comic book or a book or whatever. William Shatner has written a lot of sci-fi novels, by the way, and he wrote a great biography, a reminiscence of his friend who just died, who played Spock, Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And so if somebody had already gotten that, they could just be in line and no extra charge beyond the basic charge for the autograph. They would sign it for you, whatever you want. But
I gave you a discount if you had pointed ears as well.
Well, maybe. I didn't see that. But Mark Hamill, $200, and he still cost $5 more for the picture? I mean, I know it's standard, but at $200.
Yeah.
I should say that Stan Lee, the head of Marvel Comics, was there also. And again, this is a national comic convention every August in Toronto, one of the largest in the world. And Stan Lee, it was his last appearance in public at any of these, supposedly. That's what they said anyway. And I heard his autograph was only being given to special groups that were paying $1,000 a person.
Whoa.
To meet him. It was a meet and greet and an autograph, but you had to get into the meet and greet. So I hope the refreshments were worth it. He's a great guy. Famous comic book artist, of course, and so on. What we do without Marvel heroes, huh? Okay, I'll look ahead, and we'll give you more information, but sometimes people find out about it, and then it's passed. It's a good fundraiser, too, for Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation. It's returning again this year at the 32nd Annual Festival of Trees. Which means what? It means they're almost exactly as old as we are at WHFR. A lot of great things happened 32 years ago. It's the 32nd year for Mountain Stage. the show that we broadcast every Wednesday night. They've been broadcasting for 32 years. So anyway, this is, if you don't never heard of Festival of Trees before, first of all, it's going to be November 20th to 27th. That's only 8 days, okay, in the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. So it starts before Thanksgiving, and I don't think it's open on Thanksgiving, and then it's open for a couple days after Thanksgiving. It is a public display of professionally designed 5 and 7 foot Christmas trees, tabletop trees, wreaths, gingerbread houses, and other gifts that are sold. You can take your pick and then buy it there. And then in some cases, they want to keep it on display. They'll get it to you right after. They'll deliver it to you, in fact, or you can pick it up, whatever the system is. And then other vendors are there too, and all the gifts that are sold helps raise funds for pediatric research. A festive gift shop and train display by Glancy Trains Modular Railroad Club round out the fun. I always try to get my granddaughter over there every year. She really enjoys that.
Watch trains,
it's a big fancy display in the largest room they have over at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. So just to let you know, that does start on the 20th, goes to the 27th, and I believe not on Thanksgiving, however. So 2 p.m. November 20th is when they open. Okay. Moving on. Oh, it's past halfway. We've got some important other things to share with you. Not going to give too much specific candidate information today. We've done all that. It's on our podcast, folks. Individual candidate interviews, 30 minutes each of people that are still running. They're on our website, whfr.fm. Okay. Click on talk shows button in the middle of the page and then choose. There's only two more buttons. Click on WHFR Journal, which is the title of our show, of course. And then look down the list. I've specifically changed the titles to include for each date the name of the candidate we've interviewed for 30 minutes on that during that show. So pretty easy to find, and you know, that kind of 30 minute interview background of local people. We didn't get to all of them. We didn't get to any of the candidates for the school board. We thought the League of Women Voters was going to get to that, and they finally didn't or couldn't for some reason. And so, sorry, I couldn't help with that. But more information about them, of course, is at vote401.org. John. I just mentioned earlier about voting on November 5th. Let me do this, and then, John, you had that letter that was written by a young person.
Veterans Day, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
This is from the city of Dearborn, and they're letting you know that registered voters can request absentee ballots through November 5th. That's tomorrow, okay? So if you're registered in Dearborn and you believe you can't get to your polling place on Tuesday, November the 8th, and you didn't know that they might be open on Saturday, because they usually aren't at the clerk's office, but they are open, well, almost every Saturday before a major election, by the way, folks, for some hours. They're open tomorrow. Now, registered voters in Dearborn, and this is not necessarily the case in any other city or township nearby, but in Dearborn at least, so check with your city hall, your city clerk's office to see if they're going to be open tomorrow or not for this or anything else. But the hour is tomorrow in Dearborn at the Dearborn Administrative Center in West Dearborn, okay, the new City Hall, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. No, that was through today at 4:30. Okay. Tomorrow, though, it's only 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, you can go in, and in person, you can request an absentee ballot. You can take it with you then. And you can turn it back in to the city clerk's office on Monday or Tuesday, even, by 4:30 on voting day. You know, if you've already got it, and, you know, seems crazy if you're going to be available on that day anyway. But I'm just saying, you could turn it in the Tuesday. And in fact, it's Tuesday, not till 4:30, but they'll be open at the city clerk's office on Tuesday until 8 p.m. So if you have that absentee ballot and you just didn't get to the polls, you can still take it to the city clerk's office as late as Tuesday, November 8th at 8 p.m., which is when the actual polling places close. But, as I think I mentioned last week, you could go in person either today by 4:30 or tomorrow between 9 and 2 here in Dearborn and get the absentee ballot and vote. Just move away from the desk and get out to some, you know, nearby table. Fill it out, fill out the ballot, and then go back in line and turn it back in.
I was just going to say the
That's
same
right.
thing.
That yeah. So don't forget, you can just go either today by 4:30, tomorrow 9 to 2, or even, but Monday you can't get the absentee ballot. The absentee ballots can only be gotten today, by tomorrow sometime. But if you go in today by 4:30, tomorrow 9 to 2, and you get the absentee ballot here in Dearborn, you can fill it out right there and turn it back in, and you're done.
And I don't know how it is with Dearborn, but when with our city clerk, our township clerk office in, on Grosse Hill, there's folks around to help if you need some help getting everything filled out properly, and you turn it right back in.
It's
very simple. It's kind of nice. I mean, you can pick it up, do it, and get it done with. And a lot of people prefer to do it that way, that there's less less congestion, less everything on election day.
I mentioned my daughter a lot, the teacher out in Southfield Public Schools. She has long days, and then has to pick up her daughter from daycare, too, afterwards. And she's already voted. Allen Park had, I think it was last Saturday, they had a special day for absentee ballots, and she just filled it out and turned it back in. So she's already voted because they had a special Saturday. She couldn't make it Monday through Friday. So she needed an absentee ballot, but she was able to just go in and do it and get it done with without having to send it in the mail. Now, legally, registered voters can request an absentee ballot if they're over 60 years old or unable to attend the polls in person on election day due to travel, disability, religious concerns, election work, out of precinct, or incarceration. and they won't check, folks. So whatever. Say that you're very sick, or you think you're going to be very sick. Or
so, you anticipate something happening.
Right. I can't understand what the religious concerns would be. Maybe not going out in public, because you can get absentee ballots by mail and then fill them out at home. Obviously, someone that had that kind of medical problem, which is, you know, fear of crowds or whatever, that would be a good reason. That would be the disability reason, you know.
Claustrophobia type
of reason. Absentee voters are reminded, little caveat here, that only immediate family members such as parents, children, siblings, or in-laws are allowed to return the ballot for them. Adults living in the same household may also deliver the form. U.S. mail carriers are permitted to handle absentee ballots as part of their job. And so, but the deputy city clerk in Dearborn here, Lola Isminger, said no one should be coming knocking on your door asking if you need assistance. Doing so is a violation of election law and could result in felony charges against that person. Yeah, because there might be some tampering going on. Rigging. Ooh. Yeah. So absentee voters need to complete their ballots in private. Anyone who assists an absentee voter in any way is required to sign a statement on the ballot's return envelope. It is a felony to try to influence a voter while they're voting. And that goes for the polling places, too, as well as even in your own home. And if you're not registered, sorry, October 11th was the last day to register. So, all right. So give us a little background and then read that,
sure,
little letter there you have, John.
Okay, Jay, thank you. We are on Grosse Hill. We have a contest with our VFW, our local VFW, and we do this every year around Veterans Day. And it's to, and this year the theme is called The America I Believe In. And the charge is given out to middle school students, 7th and 8th graders, and as well as high schoolers. And they write essays and have them all done by a certain date. And then the VFW, as well as other interested citizens like myself, will read them. We'll read the essays and then rate the essays and then turn them in to at a certain date. And they'll be compiled, and the first three essays will give me the winners or the best writers of those three essays will be given scholarships.
Okay.
And I have one that I think is especially good, and I'd like to read it. And here we go. It's called The America I Believe In. The America I believe in is an amazing country with limitless opportunities and unbelievable potential. I believe that America is a bursting light in a world that is darker than ever before. I am beyond blessed and beyond proud to be living in this country where freedom, safety, and love ring. Pope John Paul said, freedom consists not in doing what we like, but having the right to do what we ought to do. Mm. We have the freedom to choose a leader to ensure that our country is in the hands that we believe will protect us. We may also choose our spouse, living a dream of having someone always by our side to love and care for us. We have the right to speak up when we think something is wrong and follow any religion that we choose. Americans thrive because America challenges us to improve every day, and we have the opportunities to aspire to greatness. Some of those who have aspired to greatness chose to practice medicine. I am very thankful for our consistently helpful medical services. Whenever myself or a family member have gotten injured, and when my grandpas both had serious heart issues, we have always been taken great care of and healed quickly. The America I believe in allowed my family the blessing of adopting three of my siblings from China. This America has given us three blessings and has given them opportunities and freedoms they would never have known. I am so thankful that my parents were allowed to choose adoption to grow our family. My siblings love their America. The America I believe in is safe for all and united as one. Everyone in America is different in their own way. This country accepts everyone for who they are, and that is why America is unique from other countries. Our people stand together, one nation, under God, proud and strong. The America I believe in honors our veterans and supports our military. Ronald Reagan said it best when he said, our liberties, our values, all for which America stands, is safe today because brave men and women have been ready to face the fire at freedom's front, and we thank God for them. I love my freedoms, my liberties, my democracy, my military, and our veterans. I love the America I believe in. And this was done by a seventh grade student, so very well, I thought, very well written.
Thank you for sharing that, John.
Yep.
We're going to play this WHFR promo because we need your help again. Yeah, we've got to do fundraisers several times a year, and our next blues concert where musicians will be playing for free to benefit us. We just ask a $5 admission fee. Here's the announcement from DJ Kitty Love, who's actually coming up at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock today with Best in the Blues on Highway 61. But here's the reminder, and put it down in your calendar right now.
WHFR.FM 89.3 invites you to our Fall 2016 fundraiser. All-Star Jam 2, Saturday, November 12th at the New Place Lounge, 22723 Michigan Avenue, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please join us as Detroit area musicians take the stage and jam to help support non-commercial independent Henry Ford College Radio. $5 donation to this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to help support nonprofit WHFR 89.3. Hope to see you there.
There you go. Put it down. That is the 12th. Did I say the 11th? It is Saturday, November the 12th, and it will be a great fun evening. Food and beverages, 21 or older, will be available for an extra charge, and it's only $5 admission. And we hope to have a great blues jam that night with all kinds of really good local blues musicians from Detroit who, you know, this is one of the best blues cities in this country. One of the top three, I would think, but I'm kind of biased, of course. Mm-hmm. We play a lot of them on WHFR. You will hear many of them this afternoon, too. Okay, here is a story, actually editorial statement, editorial opinion from the Arab American News. Now this, yes, they do believe that they speak to mostly Arab Americans in this area and, for that matter, around the country, too. They do national news also. But you can get a free copy, of course, of their printed version, either late Fridays or early Saturdays each week, all around Dearborn. Many places around Dearborn, such as Dearborn Administrative Center, and probably the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, too. Well, here's what they had to say today. early this morning. They posted this editorial, which will be in their printed version this weekend. Michigan has long been a safe Democratic state in the presidential elections for the past 24 years, but the unpredictability of this cycle puts everything in doubt. A Fox 2 poll showed GOP candidate Donald Trump is less than 3.3 percentage points behind Democrat Hillary Clinton, that's in the state of Michigan, within the margin of error. And Michigan is becoming a contested state, and your vote could swing it to the red or the blue. Donald Trump was in Michigan just a day or two ago. His vice presidential candidate, Mike Spence, I think was there yesterday. And in addition, Hillary Clinton is going to be downtown Detroit doing a rally down there to get out the vote also. So, yeah, we're close, and it could be another state that could go either way. So Arab American News goes on to say that the vote can be decisive, and both locally and statewide and nationally, of course, because after all, nobody predicted the historic victory of Bernie Sanders in Michigan. Hillary was going to win by, eight to as much as 20 points in some polls, and then Bernie Sanders won. So don't believe the pollsters. It what matters is how you vote and how many people vote. Okay, and that's called democracy, folks. So it's not over until it's over. Did Yogi Berra say that or something?
Yes.
Yeah, famous Yogi Berra.
And Bernie's voice will be heard. I mean, he's made an impact more so than I think a lot of people would have expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And by the way, the Arab American News did endorse Bernie Sanders in the primary.
Yeah.
So, and they are endorsing Hillary right now, just to be fair. Just say, well, who do they endorse now? Well, Hillary. They say there's too much at stake to stay home on November 8th. Vital races can be decided by you from the top of the ballot down to the proposals. They say Arab and Muslim communities are under attack. The rise of hate crime, Islamophobic media campaigns, and anti-immigration rhetoric is frightening. The best way to respond to those who question Arabs and Muslims' Americanism is to fulfill the civic duty of voting on Tuesday. Furthermore, when Arab Americans vote in large numbers, they advance the community's interests by creating a voting bloc that influences future candidates' political calculations. And they go on here. And so basically they're saying everybody, but they're, of course, speaking to Arab Americans because it's the Arab American newspaper. Hmm. Oh, okay, right. I'm just saying that's why they have that slant especially. But everybody should get out and vote, folks. And they do say that Arab Americans should vote based on merit, experience, and qualifications, in addition to the candidate's sensitivity to the Arab community, as anybody would vote for somebody who is particularly sensitive to the community you live in, that is your particular group, or place you work, you know, worried about your job at GM or something like that, John. So, of course, we have interests that we know and value individually, and we do look for candidates that are responsive and concerned about, and may even do something to improve the situations that we are individually in, as well as the bigger picture. There's always the bigger picture too, of course. And of course, I added that. So they state very fairly at the end of this opinion at the Arab American News, regardless of whom you will vote for, head to the polls on November 8th and cast your ballot. I also have an opinion from Jack Lessenberry, which I better share now, John, just to make sure it comes in. Okay, this is from this week's Detroit Metro Times. Last week, as most people might know, Jack Lessenberry, he's a liberal, and he was in favor of Bernie Sanders. He believes you should vote for Hillary. He thinks Donald Trump is not desirable in many ways. You can read that editorial a week ago on Metro Times. .com, I think it's .com website. But this week, I wanted to share this opinion because it goes beyond his liberalness, even though at the beginning you might think that's what he's talking about here. Here we go. Jack Lessenberry. A week from now, if this country isn't entirely hopeless, we'll wake up to a world where President-elect Hillary Clinton has won a solid victory, hopefully one resembling a landslide. Democrats will also have solid control of the U.S. Senate and have made major gains in the House. If the gods, for some reason, are smiling on us, they will shock political scientists by getting a majority there, too, though that's unlikely. Closer to home, Democrats will have won a majority in the state House of Representatives, meaning recycled accountant Rick Snyder will no longer be able to mindlessly rubber stamp the host of awful legislation the right-wing crazies in the legislature have been regularly sending off to his desk. Better by far that he spent his last 2 years in public life with a system that forces some degree of accountability. Pursue the daydream to its ultimate limits, and you have a special van easing L. Brooks Patterson in his wheelchair out of his Oakland County office, returning the 77-year-old to his ranch house and his liquor cabinet, where he'll be able to babble about Coleman Young and treacherous Syrian refugees into the night. Not all these things are likely to happen, he says. But even if they do, that's when the hard part starts. Because if you think you can leave it to Clinton and a bunch of other politicians to fix things, you are going to be so... fill in the blank, disappointed. Can't read that word on even National College Radio Day. No, I'll be in trouble with the FCC. You and I and a whole lot of other people are going to have to pressure them, that, and do a whole lot ourselves. Sorry, that's the way it is. People like to say politics is the art of the possible, until once in a lifetime somebody does something that was supposed to be impossible. Bobby Kennedy, who might have changed the political world, used to say, "Some people see things that are and ask why. I see things that never were and ask why not." I don't have that Boston accent to add to it, but yeah. Robert Kennedy, son of Jack Kennedy, he was Attorney General under John Kennedy's presidency.
No, brother. Brother.
Brother. I'm sorry. Brother, yes. And unfortunately assassinated in the summer of 60.
Eight,
yeah.
Summer, or a son of Joe Kennedy.
Well, yes, the son of Joe. Yeah. Electing, and Jack Lesenberg was on, electing a black president was supposed to be impossible, as was getting national health care. As I write these words, a bunch of talking heads on the cable channels are all saying that the basic pattern of red and blue states can't be changed, and nothing much different will happen next year either. Same old gridlock, same old problems. These are the same geniuses, of course, who told us all last winter that Donald Trump didn't have a chance to be nominated. To paraphrase what Humphrey Bogart said of Peter Lorre in Casablanca, I suppose I would despise them if I bothered to think about it. However, they do have a point. We will get the same old, unless we do something about it. Bernie Sanders, who wasn't supposed to do as well as he did either, said President Barack Obama made a mistake when he didn't keep the army of folks who elected him together as a pressure group. Something like that is needed more than ever. Clinton isn't evil. She is someone who went to Yale and feels at ease in Wall Street boardrooms making speeches to millionaires for large sums of money. She needs to be pushed. Forget worrying about all the crazy words that are spoken. I can't say that word on the air either. We have more and more kids in this country who are drowning in debt from money they borrowed to get a college degree. Student debt has risen to $1.45 trillion.
Incredible.
Three times what it was a decade ago. That is affecting and sometimes choking and strangling the lives of more than 40 million people who can't even refinance it when interest rates drop. Because that's against the law right now, believe it or not. Something has to be done, says Jack Lesenberry. Here in Michigan, he goes on to say, our politics are going to be paralyzed and largely controlled by despicable people unless and until we do something about gerrymandering, you know, drawing the lines that set up the districts, groups of people that vote for their representatives, and also do something about term limits. He's not in favor of term limits either, folks. That has left us with a state government controlled by the far right and special interests, no matter how the people vote. And, in fact, I have to go on to say that, you know, if there was district drawing that was more fair, not biased for one political party or the other, and if term limits weren't in place, then what the majority of people in Michigan would want as representatives would be quite different. It would not be far right. It would be certainly middle of the road, if not slightly liberal. And that's been proven in the election of most previous governors, where even where we had a Republican governor elected, people thought they were kind of a moderate Republican. I think they thought Snyder was a moderate Republican too, until he started signing all these crazy bills that previously that came from his legislature that he said he wouldn't sign in the future. But he did, in fact. So we know that he is definitely a rightist in terms of conservatism. Finishing up here, newsflash, Clinton can fix this situation in Michigan, and our lawmakers won't. We need state constitutional amendments to give us a chance to get control of our government again, and a coalition of people will have to come together, fight the established interest, and do the work. That will be harder than electing someone, but infinitely more worth it. Whenever people talk of electing a politician to so-called save them, I think of the last pages of Ray Bradbury's great science fiction classic, The Martian Chronicles. In it, a family has fled from an Earth that is destroying itself and has gone to Mars, where there was once a vast civilization. The children beg to be shown Martians, who they think will have the answer to everything, much as we once thought John F. Kennedy and Barack Obama did. Their father promises and eventually takes them to a canal where they look at their own faces, staring up at them from the water. They were the Martians. They were the ones who would have to figure out the future. Nobody today is about to go to Mars, although Elon Musk would like to do it, I understand. But Lansing is probably a much weirder place than Mars. We are about to have an election that, if it went wrong, could seriously wreck this country and the world. But assuming we survive, the hard reality is this, as he concludes here, we are the ones we have been waiting for to save us, in other words. All right. That's about a minute to go. Something to sum up with, John? Go ahead, quick.
This is Publicans invited to November 11th Veterans Day ceremony at the Performing Arts Center in Dearborn. And it's, a Veterans Day ceremony at 11 a.m. It's in conjunction with the Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council. Honored at the ceremony will be Veteran of the Year, U.S. Navy Veteran Andy Anderson. And I wanted to put stab in here for our ceremony tomorrow. We're having a grand reopening ceremony and free use of the airport runway at Grosse Isle Municipal Airport.
How big a runway is that?
It's a runway big enough for...
You can land a plane there.
You can land a plane there.
Is that the free use, or you go there with your skateboard? You're saying it's free for...
Well, actually, you can bring your bike, skateboard,
scooter. Oh, okay, so they're not landing planes while you're out there on your bikes.
No, they're not going to knock you off while you're, while you're doing
that's
that.
That's good to know.
From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Should be a lot of fun. Come on
up. Big party, Grosse Isle, tomorrow, and... take care out there. We'll be with you next week for the post-election wrap-up. Please remember to vote. And whoopee, it's College Radio Day coming up Highway 61.
This is College Radio Day, and you're listening to WHFR-FM, Henry Ford College.
This is College Radio Day. College Radio Day. Championing college radio and celebrating the last bastion of creative radio programming in the world.
Truly independent content and music you can't find anywhere else.
Wow. This is College Radio Day.
This is WHFR Dearborn.
Well, my-